It's January 5th, 2016. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings and his content chief Ted Sarandos race across the flat, straight highway between Orange County, California and Las Vegas in a rented SUV. Rain lashes the windshield. A storm has grounded all flights from John Wayne Airport in Orange County, so the Netflix team, set to fly to Vegas that day, has to resort to something they'd been doing in their business for a long time now. They had to improvise. They rent a car and drive fast to shave off as many crucial minutes as they can. Because what's waiting for them in Vegas is the final rehearsal for the most important announcement in Netflix's history. News they've painstakingly kept secret from the press for months. Hastings and Sarandos barely make it in time to the rehearsal. And the next morning, Hastings strides onto a darkened stage at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas to cheers. He's delivering the keynote address. Nerds, who are there for the displays of the latest electronic toys, gather excitedly to hear what he has to say. But even with the rehearsal, he stumbles out of the gate. He starts by rushing his speech, but he doesn't want to blow it, so he takes a moment to collect himself. He burrows his right fist into his left hand and speaks in an awkward, measured manner. We can now put consumers across the world into the driver's seat when it comes to where and when you want to watch. Great stories at your fingertips. You just click and watch. A simple but revolutionary shift from corporate to consumer control. The crowd is quietly rooting for him. Hastings begins to gather steam. He feels the kind of fire that must drive a preacher to deliver the hope of salvation. While you have been listening to me talk, the Netflix service has gone live in nearly every country in the world but China, where we hope to be in the future. Excitement begins to pulse through the room. Behind him, a red and white map pops up on a screen, showing Netflix's spreading world conquest. Today, right now, you are witnessing the birth of a global TV network. And I do mean the birth. In a single moment, Netflix goes live in 130 countries. From this moment, Netflix has become more than a streaming company. It's leading a movement in which consumers all over the world decide what they watch and when and how they watch it. The future that Hastings and Mark Randolph envisioned two decades earlier has arrived. The unfettered reign of cable television has ended. The war for streaming viewers will become richer and more cutthroat.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. I'm David Brown. Remember back when we started talking about the battle between Netflix and Blockbuster in our first episode? And we asked you to remember when you used to take that drive to Blockbuster on a Friday night and rent a video to pop into your VCR to watch with your friends or family. Well, the way we watch has come a very long way indeed, hasn't it? On this final episode of our series about Netflix's war against Blockbuster and HBO, we're taking a look at the complex media landscape we live in today. The Netflix founding myth claims that Reed Hastings first had the idea for his company when he returned a VHS tape of the movie Apollo 13 to Blockbuster and had to pay a $40 late fee. Hastings thought there had to be a better way for people to get movies. That led him to start a DVD by mail service that year, 1997, and about a decade later, he introduced streaming over the internet. Well, that story about Apollo 13 and late fees, it's just that, a story. Hastings actually came up with it later as a good yarn to explain what he and his co-founder, Mark Randolph, were trying to accomplish with Netflix. But in the long run, he was right. There is a better way. And today, 20 years later, you could say, we're all living in Reed Hastings' world. Movies and TV shows you'll love, anytime, any place. Because, let's face it, what do you do on a Friday night these days? The video stores are pretty much all gone, that's for sure. And what do you watch? Think about it. How do you watch it? Yeah, you might watch a movie on demand from your cable TV or satellite box, or maybe you're watching an original show produced by Netflix. But on what device? It'd be an understatement to say that the landscape is more complicated than it's ever been, and a lot more competitive, too. In our last episode, Netflix cracked open the premium content game with a $100 million gamble on House of Cards, winning accolades and Emmys. And that's just the start for them. And while Netflix has moved on to HBO's turf with high-quality, critically acclaimed series, Time Warner finds itself having to move into Netflix's territory, streaming. It is March 9th, 2015. Thousands of people wait in a darkened San Francisco auditorium for the arrival of a tech superstar, Apple CEO Tim Cook. Apple product launch events bring surprises, yet at the same time are pretty predictable. But today has an unusual surprise. For once, Cook will just be the opening act. Someone else will be the headliner. Cook casually strolls on stage in blue jeans and a sweater. He smiles as waves of cheers and whistles wash over him. He paces loosely back and forth across the stage. On a giant screen behind him glow the logos of dozens of media channels, including Disney, ESPN, Showtime, A&E, and Fox. Now, of all the great channels on Apple TV, there is one I'd like to talk to you about this morning, and that is HBO. The audience settles down. They are rapt and impatient. We love HBO. They've really become part of our culture and have helped shape our culture. Lush publicity photos of The Sopranos, Sex and the City, Entourage, Veep, and Game of Thrones appear behind him. Today, we've got the CEO of HBO, Richard Plepler, here with some exciting news. Richard? And then Cook ambles off the stage. The crowd strains forward in their seats. Plepler, in a dark blue blazer and open-neck dress shirt, walks purposefully onto the stage. Unlike Cook, who paced the stage, Plepler stands stiffly and speaks formally. He does not seem to be in his element.
We are thrilled to announce our standalone streaming service, HBO Now, and we couldn't be prouder that Apple is our exclusive partner at launch.
The audience applauds wildly. They doubted this day would ever come. Now they can cut their cable subscriptions and stream HBO like they've been asking to do for years.
This is a transformative moment for HBO, and we are so excited.
Even as Plepler is delivering good news, he looks and sounds uncomfortable. Because HBO Now may already be too late to the streaming party to matter. And this might explain the awkward pairing today of Plepler and Cook. Plepler hopes some of Apple's cool factor will rub off on HBO and millennials will return to the premium channel. As Plepler walks off the stage, a trailer for HBO's Game of Thrones plays on the screen. The beautiful white-haired rebel princess names her rivals and declares how she will seize the throne of the Seven Kingdoms for herself.
I'm not going to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel.
HBO Now unnerves its allies in the cable TV industry. See, there's a good reason why HBO has taken so long to offer a standalone service like this, like HBO Now. And the cable companies who carry HBO to subscribers who generate $4 billion in subscription fees, well, they hate the idea viewers could just get HBO alone. Tom Rutledge, the CEO of Charter Communications, had this to say about HBO.
Anybody who sells their content over the top through streaming and also expects to exist inside a cable bundle, I think is really deluding themselves.
That's a call to arms from Rutledge. See, as a cable subscriber, you don't get to pick and choose the channels you want. You pay for a package of hundreds of channels, even when there are only three or four you really watch. This is what they call the cable bundle. And that costly bundle is what has kept the average cable bill in the triple digits for decades. If you start pulling out the most popular channels and letting people pay for them a la carte, well, the whole thing unravels. HBO is the first major cable channel to bolt from the bundle. It sets off alarm bells among the cable companies. Millennials and other cord cutters are jubilant over HBO Now. HBO's own late-night television host, John Oliver, pretty much sums it up.
HBO Now offers everything you love about HBO, like sports and comedy specials and full frontal nudity. The hat trick, the trifecta of HBO. It's a lot like HBO Go, except you don't have to rely on your parents' password.
HBO plays along. Remember Jake Caputo? He's the guy who launched TakeMyMoneyHBO.com. Well, HBO gamely did a promo for HBO Now featuring him. Tough guy characters from The Sopranos arrived to pay a little visit to Caputo.
What did this Jake kid say? HBO, take my money?
Yeah, big balls, huh?
We'll take it, all right.
We're here to take your money. Give me your wallet.
There's not much in there.
What's this?
How much we got?
Here, for the subway. Leave him alone.
Hey, Tweeter Man, I'll be seeing you.
Meanwhile, the programming field in 2016 is becoming an economic arms race. HBO is in for $2.5 billion. Networks like CBS are in for $4 billion. Amazon Prime pushes $4.5 billion into content. And Netflix? Well, Reed Hastings is in for $5 billion. To the average viewer, this just means, hooray, more great programming. But if you're a shareholder in one of these companies, well, you might be thinking, show me the money, or keep rolling the dice for higher stakes. See, shareholders expect HBO, as part of a big legacy media company like Time Warner, to deliver profits regularly. And if they don't, well, investors stash their money elsewhere, right? That means HBO can't take high-dollar gambles on content or risky growth strategies unless HBO's also delivering reliable profits for its parent, Time Warner. But Netflix, well, Netflix operates more like a tech company. These shareholders aren't worried about profits. They want growth. They take a long view, believing it's okay for companies like Netflix and Amazon to break even or even rack up a loss for a while. They'll wait for their reward,
big growth and a big pop in the stock price. That means these newer companies can spend money on producing content and not worry too much past that. Over the past few years, the breadth and diversity of stories being told has been expanding. The first wave of great television in the 90s and 2000s won critical acclaim for lots of white male anti-heroes in shows like The Sopranos, Mad Men, and The Shield. But now, viewers are seeing a wider range of characters represented on hit shows. Amazon's features Transparent, about a family that adjusts to the father transitioning to becoming a woman. That show racks up multiple Emmys, including Best Comedy. In Narcos, viewers get deep into the dark and bloody family lives of Colombia's Medellin and Cali cartel leaders until the DEA gets dirty, working mightily to finally take them down. The Handmaid's Tale from Hulu is one of the most unconventional of the new shows. Its success announces Hulu as a major player on the scene. The story takes place in a dystopian time that looks a lot like now, or at least the near future, when a toxic environment has rendered many women barren. Fertile women become the prized property of the elite, with armies to hunt them down and abduct them.
And their barren wives, you will bear children for them.
It's the first streaming series to win an Emmy for Best Dramatic Series. It won three more in major categories, too, another first for a streaming company. As the traditional cable bundle continues to unravel, a slew of providers have arrived. There's YouTube, Sony's PlayStation View, and even the networks have caved in stream. Even... yes, that, my friend, is the familiar sound of an NFL game streaming on Twitter. Yes, even Twitter figures out a way to get in on this action, buying the rights for Thursday Night Football. Now, if Twitter is a player in sports rights, well, it's got to make you wonder, where does this all end?
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
In trying to figure out where this all ends, it's worth taking a moment to recall where it all began. Though actually, that might be a tough call. Maybe it was Charles Dolan, who in the middle of a 1972 hurricane saw the future of cable television in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Maybe it took the battle to the death between Blockbuster and Netflix to teach viewers to go online to watch movies and TV. Maybe the likes of Ted Sarandos and David Fincher showed that rolling the dice big could pay off handsomely. But would we have quality content without Jeff Bukas raising the bar so high? Probably not. It certainly took the epic, expensive, grueling fight between HBO and Netflix to grow massive worldwide audiences. But if you pull back a little bit wider, it occurs to you, it probably took all of this to create a new age of television, a new age we are in right now. Will this world change? Absolutely. Disney plans to come on the scene with its own Netflix killer, a streaming service that will draw from Disney's enormous library of TV shows and movies, the Star Wars franchise, the Pixar films, Frozen, Moana, and the massively successful Marvel superhero movies, among others. If its proposed deal with 21st Century Fox goes through, they'll also control tons of other popular shows and movies. Oh, and if any of these titles happen to currently be on Netflix or Hulu, they'll be pulling them off. But you know what? Some things don't change. When Netflix CEO Reed Hastings is asked about Disney, he displays his trademark cool and confidence. We don't see Disney as a threat to us any more than Hulu has been. I'm sure it will be very successful. I know I'll be a subscriber of it. It's great content, but we are able to grow without it just fine. And you just know he's saying that because he's already thought about this and has come up with a plan. And you know you'd be right. Netflix is already making content deals directly with producers and directors, locking up everything they make for the next decade or so. Our exposure is significantly less than it used to be. Yeah, talk about understatements. There is one imponderable in all of this. Apple. Steve Jobs, when he was literally on his deathbed in the fall of 2011, he told his biographer Walter Isaacson that he wanted to do for television sets what he had done for computers, music players, and phones, make them simple and elegant. In one of his last bedside interviews with Isaacson, Jobs said that he regretted that he had cracked the idea for Apple TV, but wouldn't live to see it realized. I'd like to create an integrated television set that is completely easy to use. It would be seamlessly synced with all of your devices and with iCloud. No longer would users have to fiddle with complex remotes for DVD players and cable channels. It will have the simplest user interface you could imagine. What might have been? Let's just think about it for a moment. If Jobs had survived his bout with cancer, a game-changing Apple-designed TV and original content programming would likely not have been far behind for Apple. But instead, under Tim Cook, they pretty much sat on the sidelines. Not anymore. This year, Apple opened its own content studio in a major way. Last year, they paid big bucks to get new series from the likes of Steven Spielberg, Reese Witherspoon, Gwyneth Paltrow, and other A-list talent. And to run their studio, they hired the top executives at Sony, who had overseen Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and The Shield. These splashy shows will start premiering this year. And they are the first moves in Apple's initial $1 billion investment in original content. That number will climb to $4.2 billion by 2022. And what about HBO? HBO. It was the first to realize decades ago just how lucrative and powerful quality programming can be when it's delivered easily to customers over a new technology. Today, HBO's subscriber base continues to grow and get younger. And no one, not even Netflix, can touch the audiences for their massive epic Game of Thrones. With all these new adversaries, It's worth noting that the number of original scripted series have tripled in a decade to more than 500. With all that programming, HBO's Plepler says the smart move will be to make fewer but better shows. We're not trying to do the most. More is not better. Better is better. And maybe better is more profitable, too. In 2017, HBO hauled in $2.2 billion compared to $839 million for Netflix. And what does Reed Hastings have to say? Well, he has a few predictions. Hastings says he will personally deliver the last Netflix DVD by mail, and broadcast TV will go dark for good by 2030. Then comes a century or more of internet television. It's mind-blowing to imagine where that will take us all, especially if you recall that just 10 years ago, most of us thought nothing of hopping into our cars to go rent a movie. In the end, there are only so many ways that HBO, FX, Amazon, and the others can compete. Because there is one thing none of them can change, no matter how much they spend. There are only 24 hours in a day to eat, work, hang out, and check your social media. On that note, Hastings has one more prediction. Perhaps it's already happening to you. What about when there's a movie or show you're really dying to watch and you end up staying up late at night, so we actually compete with sleep and we're winning? Yes, the final frontier just might be sleep.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I hope you enjoyed our first series of Business Wars. In a few days, we'll have a special interview episode about the series you just heard. In our upcoming series, a German company becomes the giant of sports shoes after African-American Jesse Owens flashes across the finish line at the 1936 Olympics in Germany. Meeting the challenge is a runner and businessman who bigfoots them in the American market. Join us next for Nike versus Adidas. I'm your host, David Brown. Gina Keating, the author of Netflixed, wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound design by Jeff Schmidt. The theme song was composed by Lindsey Graham for Airship. Our executive producers are Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Once upon a beat.
Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.